The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Friday. Hope you had a good day and a good weekend coming up. It has been a hell of a difficult week, especially for those involved directly and perhaps less directly with the massacre of white Christian conservative Americans in Las Vegas by a very sophisticated operation, which is now beginning to show up pretty much as... And I'm no prophet, but as I saw it and as I outlined it last Monday night, we began posting stories around 1 or 2 a.m., something like that, last Monday night, within a couple of hours after the shootings occurred. And I wrote at the time, it's still up there, I haven't touched it, because I think I pretty well got it. CIA, ISIS, Mossad, false flag. Another 9/11, as more Americans are slaughtered for the agenda. Lee Harvey Paddock was dressed up with guns, with no motive, never knew he was patsied. And you can look at the story with the photographs in there. I think they're quite clear that he was set up and murdered in the suite. The evidence points to that. He didn't know he was being used. It does appear now that the claim by ISIS that he converted to Islam 6 months ago or so may well be true. Remember, the CIA director under Barry Satoru was also a Muslim. He converted. So do we believe was Barry a Muslim? So not a big surprise. All right, all the stories are up there. So my original title holds, and as the days go by, more and more truth will come out. You need to keep in mind that Las Vegas is a business. This is bad for business. Las Vegas needs this to go away. When the so-called leaked photographs appeared of the suite, that's a Class A crime scene. You don't leak photographs. If you're a cop, you don't go in there and take 72 DPI photos on your cell phone and leak them to the internet and expect to have a job the next day. It doesn't work. So those were leaked intentionally. So people could see the dead body. When they see a dead body, and I've said this before, in their mind, the shooter, dead, closure. We can wrap this up. That's what Las Vegas wants. It does appear that there were shootings the same night at New York, New York, at Aria, at Caesar's Palace, and at Bellagio. All covered up. Very simple to do. Las Vegas needs to be happy. It needs no negative publicity. And for those of you who are asking, well, where are all the bodies? Where is the blood? Where are the pictures? Las Vegas doesn't want pictures up, so you're not going to see pictures. It's bad for business. And I'm starting to see now the most vile emails inviting me to look at this video or that, where these clearly, in many cases, government intelligence agents are online spewing crisis actors. Where were the paramedics? Paramedics were there. Their vehicles weren't, because the crime scene wasn't secure, and they were not allowed to take their vehicles up into the area of fire. There were paramedics all over the ground, and they're working. They walked in, they were heroic, and they did their job. The people themselves carried out so many wounded, so many hurt people. This was a really remarkable tribute to the goodness of humanity. And now you see, I saw one story and it said, they were all blanks. I have a video in which one of the bullets from one of the weapons, and there were multiple weapons, hit the concrete and ricocheted. You know the sound, twang. You can hear it quite clearly. No, they weren't blanks. People did die. But the mainstream media likes to refer to Paddock as the shooter. No, he wasn't the shooter. And the photographs prove he wasn't the shooter. I'm not sure he got one round off. I think he walked in there and was immediately executed, laid out, dressed up, and perhaps two or three others in there did use the broken out windows. Maybe they broke them out. We don't know. But Paddock was set up and used. No doubt. So much for converting to that wonderful religion. This was an ISIS operation. The CIA knows everything. The CIA knew what was coming. The main planners and orchestrators and executors, no pun intended, clearly were the Zionists. Once again, the Mossad. This is what they do. Remember 9/11? Remember the USS Liberty? All right, this is a known event, and they were obviously deeply involved. I have a source who used to work at the Mandalay Hotel, who still has friends there, who has told me some extraordinary things from the inside. I can't reveal them all. I can reveal some. I can tell you that the entire staff knows that there were multiple shooters. That's the word I get from somebody else. The cafeteria in the hotel, probably the same in all of them. The blacks, the Mexican, Latinos, and the whites all get along and they have lunch. And the Muslim employees, of which there were well over 120, are probably still at the Bellagio, and about the same at the Mandalay Bay, sit by themselves. They mumble. They talk very lowly. They sit alone. When somebody walks by them, they stop talking until that person is well away from them. It's called assimilation, remember? They're going to assimilate. They're going to be happy, carefree Americans. No, they aren't. They're going to kill happy, carefree Americans, and just did last Monday night. Downtown, gone off as they expected to, we wouldn't be even talking about a single shooter. We'd be talking about multiple events on the same night, as has been the case in other shootings in other areas, like Paris. Remember the restaurant shooting? Wasn't the only location. So this is, again, a story that is still unfolding. I'm very happy to say that we've been able to give you what I consider the best information upon which you can make your decisions, whatever they may be, as to what happened. We will continue to follow this as well as I can, and I hope to have an eyewitness, a survivor, on Monday, and we're going to learn a lot from that person, and I mean a lot. So we will see. It is the first Friday of the month. That means Madeline Gerwick is here to talk to us about financial, geopolitical, astrological issues that are going on right now. And Madeline, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here again.
Good. I am glad to have you back. October, always a month of surprise, often convulsion. Strange things happen in October. What did it look like to you in advance, and what happened?
Well, the full moon that we had yesterday was quite intense. It is front and center related to death, transformation, and very, very major power issues. So just as you think maybe you're going to get past some of them, it's like, oh, no, you aren't. And definitely this entire week, the solar eclipse was being triggered again. Now, just as a reminder, when you have a solar eclipse, you're actually seeing the darkness, right? I mean, the light goes out. So, you know, from a metaphorical point of view, a solar eclipse that goes from coast to coast in totality across the U.S. is showing the entire country the darkness that they perhaps haven't been awake to. And it's waking them up to it because Uranus, which is the great awakener, is was trying exactly to that solar eclipse point. So this this week, and actually yesterday the most exact day, but the entire week, that eclipse point was being triggered again by another planet, Jupiter. Jupiter is always associated with something big, really big. It's not necessarily good, but it's always big. And certainly the Las Vegas event was gigantic. So, you know, from an astrological point of view, this does not look like a lone gunman. This looks like a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm. We're at war, Madeline. This is exactly
what
it was.
Yeah, really, we are. And the other thing that was really intense about this particular full moon is that, and I think I might have mentioned this in the last few months, that Uranus has been square to the USA Pluto, exactly square to the USA Pluto. So those are very revolutionary energies. And when you're at war, of course, the very first thing, I don't know, one of the top rules, at least, of war is to divide and conquer. So that's, of course, one of the things we have to keep in mind is that as long as we continue to put out divisive rhetoric or statements or blogs or social media, that we're actually helping the enemy. So, you know, this is definitely not a time to be doing that because, of course, our media is very focused on that. So they do their part robustly. And, of course, I'm sure they're part of the gig, part of the war group. So, you know, we don't want to be doing divide and conquer because that's exactly how the enemy will win. Now, one of the things about this particular event that has shown up astrologically is that we're not getting good information about this guy, Paddock, or even about the event itself. We really are not getting good information at all. And the astrology right now has the Sun conjunct Mercury. Now, anytime any planet is close to the Sun, you can't see that planet. So Mercury being close to the Sun and Mercury being in charge or representing information, we're not getting the information. But on October 8th, we're going to have what we call moments of clarity, or at least that's what I call them, because when the Sun and Mercury are within 17 minutes, they actually get close enough that it's kind of like being in the eye of the hurricane, you get a very clear signal of what's happening. And so you get these moments of clarity on October 8th. Now, on the East Coast, that occurs October 8th from 17 a.m. Eastern Time to October 9th at 2:34 a.m. Eastern Time. And on the West Coast, that's October 8th between 4:18 a.m. and 11:34 p.m. Pacific Time. So the West Coast really gets it, you know, for pretty much the entire waking day. And so we're likely to see some information come in this weekend that will be revealed during those moments of clarity. And we're likely to find that Paddock perhaps had been, you know, revolutionized, shall we say, radicalized by ISIS. Now, I looked at Paddock's chart, and he actually had a very challenging chart, which you might kind of guess because his father was arrested, right?
Bank it was robber. FBI top, nearly the, mostly the top of the list, most wanted, right?
Yeah, most wanted, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and said he was psychopathic, right? So he did have a very challenging chart, and Pluto was square to his sun, opposite Uranus, and so forth. So he had intense cycles occurring, particularly that Pluto square to his sun, opposite his Uranus, could have led him to radicalize, because he probably would not be what I would call someone who would be interested in internally transforming himself, which would have been the other option. So it's obviously one he didn't take. So there is a good chance that that could have happened, that he could have been radicalized in the last, you know, actually the last couple of years. Uh-huh. And generally speaking, when somebody gets radicalized, it's a process. It usually doesn't happen quickly. It's usually, you know, it can happen, you know, like if your family is murdered by a bunch of people or something like that, something very traumatic. But he didn't have that happen to him. So it looks like it would have been more of a process over the last couple of years that would have happened.
Well, the sheriff said one thing. He said that Paddock had a secret life. And he didn't elaborate, but he did say
that. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, so definitely that definitely the entire thing from an astrological point of view looks more like a terrorist attack than, you know, some lone gunman that just went nuts. You know, it's not impossible that a guy who had that kind of a challenging chart would have kind of gone nuts from those intense cycles that he was having. But usually, most people, even when they go nuts, they don't decide they're going to murder hundreds of people. You know, it's just
not usually, no.
No. So I think there's a lot more to this than we're being told. And one of the things that I mentioned moments ago was about this revolutionary energy. And I just want to make another point about that, because this is going to be ongoing in very intensely through about April of next year. And then probably the end of April of next year through about October, we're going to start having those volatile, explosive energies next year associated with war. And Mars will go retrograde, which is one of the top cycles for war. And
When is this scheduled to happen? Month?
Well, that's...
Now?
Like
later?
Late April through early October of 2018.
Not till after the holidays, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you saw what Trump said. He had a meeting of his top four generals and himself at the White House, and reporters asked him, what's going on? And kind of like a a high school kid playing game. He said, wait and see.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I can believe it.
I mean, what kind of leadership is this? And I'm not saying Hillary would have been any better, but this is really, it's just not excusable. It's just grim. It's not statesmanlike. It's not. Can you imagine Vladimir Putin saying anything like that?
I don't think you elected a statesman. I think you can forget about having elected a statesman. And actually, I think the people who voted for Trump, they weren't expecting him to be a statesman, you see. And I think this is where the media tends to go wrong, because, you know, there's all this kind of expectation of what does a president say and do and blah, blah, blah. But everybody knows he's not a politician. And the people who voted for him because he wasn't a politician. And so I think his base really doesn't really care. Doesn't really, you know, they don't get, you know, upset about some of his tweets and stuff, because, you know, there's probably some of them that aren't too good, but, you know, that I would say for the most part, people don't care. People who voted for him are happy that
not anymore. We're in a social media culture now. They don't care. No.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's like, you know, his word against whatever the fake media is doing, right?
That's so, right.
So I think the media completely underestimates their impact that way, because people don't see what they're spouting. And they're not as easily sort of crafted or molded into the mindset that the media wants them to have. Because remember now, the reason that Trump won, and I said this in February of 2016, was that the public, the citizens, were enraged. They weren't just angry. They were enraged at what was going on in D.C. And so, you know, you have a lot of people who are just waking up to what's really going on, and they're not happy with it. So, you know, as far as they can see, Trump's the only guy that's telling them the truth. It's just my take. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the full moon that we had yesterday was quite intense. Because Pluto was exactly on the ascendant, so exact I could hardly believe it. Now, that was for D.C., and Pluto was square to the sun and the moon, which were opposite. That's what a full moon is. The sun is opposite the moon so that you can see the entire moon. And at full moons, we always have what I call things coming to light. That's when you see kind of the big picture of what's going on at the moment. So, of course, the big picture that's coming out right now is this, you know, death scene, basically, and the terrorism that's going on to divide and conquer the country. So, and of course, as you mentioned, you know, primarily those people were, you know, country music lovers.
A lot of them were
percentage of Trump
supporters.
White Christians. Yeah, Trump supporters. Yeah, probably a large percentage
they were
Trump supporters.
They were conservative Americans. A lot of them were patriots, good people, representing in many ways the best of our people. Not that all Americans don't have good qualities if they want to, but this was a very good group of people, clearly.
Yes, yes. And, of course, they're being targeted to be killed and, you know, purposely. For divisive purposes. So yeah, that showed up. And of course, because of the way that chart was set up, you know, essentially, Trump is also in danger. Now, I always think that he will not get killed because his chart is protected and his inauguration chart was protected. So, you know, I think that's a good possibility. But you know, the sun in the full moon chart was exactly square to the USA sun. You know, Pluto's opposite the USA sun, things like that. So there are some dangerous things going on this month in terms of probably trying to kill Trump. And I have no doubt that the cabal would do anything they could to retake their power. And if that means they're going to kill tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of Americans in order to do it, I'm sure that that's their intention.
I completely agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Madeline, hold on just a minute at that point. We have to take a break. I didn't hear any music there, but I know it's time. So we'll do that and come right back. Madeline? All right, Madeline, go right ahead. And by the way, let me tell everyone, your calls will be welcome in the second hour tonight. So let me give you the phone number, and you can call in a little early to call in unless you want to hang on the phone, but we will give you the number. 844-769-29. What? Doggone it. I got my monitors on the fritz. 844-769-2844. I think that's what it is. Hope that's what it is. I'll fix it if it isn't. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I thought we should probably turn to some of the better things that are happening in October. But before I mention those, I just want to remind people that every time we have an incident like this with Las Vegas, that we're being distracted from some really excellent things that are happening in the world that our media does not report on. And so I just want people to remember that we always have a choice as to how we focus our attention and energy. And the more that we focus on things that we want in our world, the more we'll continue to create those instead of the things we don't want, like like Las Vegas. So at the full moon yesterday, we actually had what I call the sacred marriage between Venus and Mars. Now, Venus and Mars in astrology are considered to be the lovers, and they only meet up together once every roughly 2 years. So they'll meet up again in August of 2019, kind of in the latter part of August 2019. And since they met up in Virgo, they actually, this is considered the sacred marriage because Virgo is considered the sign that's associated with temple work and sacred cycles and healing modalities and sacred work associated with agriculture and healing. So when Venus and Mars get together, they actually set the tone for relationships in the next 2 years.
Hold on. Okay. I'm sorry. It's 844. I gave the wrong number. This looks exactly, my monitor is not good. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And I apologize. Go right ahead, please.
Okay, great. I'm glad we got that straightened out. Okay. So whenever this particular cycle occurs, when Venus and Mars actually get together in the same sign, and that's what we call a conjunction, or in their case, we call it a marriage. They get together finally.
Uh-huh.
So So because they set the tone for the next 2 years of relationships, especially a relationship that's in development, let's put it that way, the relationships that are going to get going, or actually, I should say, maybe make it to the finish line, shall we put it that way, mm-hmm. are relationships that are based on mutual respect, and they're also based on having mental and spiritual intimacy prior to physical intimacy. So there are some requirements there, shall we say. You can't skip those steps and end up at the finish line, basically. The other thing is these two characters, Venus in Virgo represents the priestess, Mars in Virgo represents the priest. So these lovers have a very special purpose together, and they're very focused on their work, and their sacred work can be nearly anything. It's usually very purpose-oriented, very mission-driven. They have important work that is probably more important to them than anything. And because this particular get-together of Venus and Mars is square to Saturn, when they get together, probably they're going to be doing a lot of work. So if you want to see your future partner, a good possibility would be to work with that person, because you might not see that person very much if you didn't. So there are some challenges to them. They have to perhaps get over workaholism, fear of perhaps...
Or alcoholism.
Well, yeah, not so much in Virgo. Pisces, yeah. In Pisces, definitely, you'd have to get over alcoholism or one of those possibilities, drugs, perhaps. Venus and Mars in Virgo, square to Saturn, that can also be a situation where they may not have the confidence that, you know, they can make a relationship work. They may have had relationships in the past, you see, that, you know, make them question whether or not it can work. So there are some challenges for them, some fears to overcome and things of that nature. But in general, I'd say the worst challenge for them is they're going to be working a lot. So my advice for people who want a relationship is to work with the person that you are really after. And in 2 years from now, in August of 2019, they will get together again in Virgo. So we'll have another 2 years of that. So this isn't going to go away anytime soon. But the next time they get together, there's a lot of unexpected fun. And so it brings a whole different dimension to it. And so you might end up working together for a couple of years, uh-huh. and in a little less than 2 years, you know, it's possible you might get married or move into whatever form of relationship you're after. Now, another thing that's happening this month that's actually important, and this is Jupiter moving into the sign of Scorpio. Now, it's been in the sign of Libra since about early, well, let's see, maybe September of last year, sometime in September. Now, Jupiter in Libra was square to Pluto, which was all that very intense political power fights that we saw, major for the whole year. And it was also opposite Uranus, which it is still opposite Uranus, very, very tightly opposite Uranus, actually. And that happens to be a very challenging aspect to the economy, and just in terms of unexpected situations that are kind of what I call black swans. You know, they're not in anybody's radar, kind of like Las Vegas. And so, you know, we'll be glad to get rid of those. We'll be glad to get past those cycles and move into Jupiter in Scorpio. Now, wherever Jupiter is, from a, let's say, business point of view mm-hmm. or economic point of view, it shows which types of industries are growing. So your investment firms, your insurance firms, funeral industry, tax accountants and their representatives, waste management, environmental resource companies, nuclear fuel and power
plants. Well, we don't want to talk about that. What is the linkage here? Why those particular kinds of companies? I don't understand.
Well, they're represented by the sign of Scorpio. When Jupiter comes in to that sign, it gives them a big boost. So they get some growth when Jupiter is in their sign. And it will impact, Jupiter and Scorpio will trine Neptune in Pisces, and so oil and gas prices will go up, and we'll see inflation go up. And typically, Jupiter trine Neptune also suggests that we're going to have higher interest rates, which, of course, the Fed has been working on for some time now. So, you know, in the next year, over the next year, while Jupiter is in Scorpio, it's going to be there for about 13 months now. And it goes in, let's see, October 10th. So roughly maybe something like November 5th or 8th of next year, then it'll go into Sagittarius, its home sign.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll have a different group of industries that are favored, for growth. And my Good Timing newsletter actually goes into detail of what all the different ones are. But so, you know, gas and oil is one of the big things that's happening. And it kind of makes a big difference in terms of our prices, you know, out when you go to the store, you know, if you have to pay a lot for gasoline, that price is in every product, right?
Right. Let me ask a question before we run out of time in this hour.
Yeah.
What about Trump's tax reform efforts? All right, this is a big deal because it's beginning to look like the middle class will be further drained, strained, and crushed under the boot of economic oppression. It doesn't look good.
Well, actually, there are a few things that could be fixed in that tax reform, but actually, from an economic point of view, it does look good in the sense that you would tax people less, which we need to stop taxing labor. I know this sounds very radical, but from an economic point of view, the only reason you tax anything literally is to discourage its use. Well, we have tons of labor. There's no reason to discourage the use of labor. That's a crazy idea now. It was much less. We had much less labor when we started taxing labor. But back then, we had a lot of natural resources, and now we have the opposite situation. So we ought to be taxing the use of natural resources and not labor. But we haven't quite got to that yet. But I will say there's always a situation in every bill that will ever be passed that is something that is not right.
Well, of course, and the bottom line is, you know this, and I don't mean to insult anybody, nobody reads those bills.
Yeah, that's right.
They're 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pages long. Nobody reads them.
They're enormous, and maybe their staff reads parts of them. We don't know. But, I would say Trump is on the right track for getting that tax reform done.
Well, what about the Congress, who is doing nothing to help him? Nothing.
Well, I think you've got the stallers, the never Trumpers, if people who.
He's got defectors
really,
in his own party that are destroying any chance he has.
Yeah. But you know what I did with my senators is I wrote them and said, hey, if you don't support Trump's agenda, I'm going to vote you out next time. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everyone to do that. if to all their senators, whether they're Democratic or Republican. I don't think it matters. It's we have to tell people, you know, we want that agenda passed, and if you're not going to help, we're going to get you out of there. And that's just how I see it, you know. It's not, from an economic point of view, Trump is on the right track. It's not perfect. There's not going to be a perfect one. You know, we have to give up that idea and go for 75% or something like that, you see. We have to go for the majority of it to be right. And then fix pieces along the way if you can. But, you know, look at the situation there in Congress. If you get anything passed, it would be amazing. So I think we ought to tell our senators, you know, either get behind them or get out. We're going to get you out of there.
Right, right. I don't see it happening. Once again, it doesn't matter how bad things get. Americans send back to the Congress, House and Senate, 94% to 96% of the incumbents every 2 years.
Well, I don't know that that will happen after this.
What's different?
Well, remember, I was telling you about the revolutionary energies for the U.S.
Right.
And, I mean, this is a gigantic deal. I mean, you're watching pieces of it with Las Vegas. And people elected, you know, Trump for this very reason, basically. So you know, there's a different energy that's building. And even after it's no longer as intense as it will be now through April, and then next summer through, you know, September into early October, there's still going to be energies for making those changes. So for pushing them, really. And I don't think we should expect things to stay the same. Change has to come. It's going to come one way or the other. Either the Senate's going to get the message, or they're going to be out of there. I guarantee you, you're not going to see people who go against it end up back there.
So from an average 94 to 96%, what would you project we're going to send back? How many?
Oh, probably not more than 50% at the most.
Well, we got you on tape now.
Yep, you do.
All right.
But I want to quickly mention the new moon energies on October 19th, because that's a really big deal. It looks like there's some kind of big financial meeting behind closed doors that's going on. Now, maybe this is related to Trump's comment about wiping out Puerto Rico's debt. And maybe it's not related to our U.S. government debt. So that is a possibility we have to consider. But it might also be related to reorganizing our own debt. And we have to keep in mind, Trump reorganized his debt, so he knows how to do this. He's not, you know, a spring chicken in that regard. So that's a possibility. Another possibility is that Trump is having a meeting with perhaps other financial people around the world and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to back the U.S. dollar with gold, and we're going to redo the financial system. Now, could that happen? I think it could. Would it happen now? It's a possibility. I just want to warn people about this, because if they do that, if they do back the U.S. dollar with gold, the price of gold would have to go to something like at least $8,000 per ounce, maybe $10,000 per ounce. It would have to be very high. And once they get it up there, that's it. You're not going to see it, you know, go to higher extremes. So if you're thinking about buying gold, I would buy it now. I wouldn't wait until this happens, because once it happens, it's not going to change. You see, but for any, you know.
Got it. I understand.
Investment purposes.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other thing I want to mention here is that there's a big debt issue that shows up at the end of October. Now, that comes into play October 23rd. This is Venus square Pluto. And, of course, I'm still thinking about, oh, one important piece I forgot to tell you about the new moon energies is that these hidden meetings about money and finances show a big radical change. The sun and moon are exactly opposite Uranus, and they're all hidden. So there's something big going on that we're not being told. We're not going to see until it's a fait accompli, and we're not going to know anything until everything's done, of course. So, but it's a big radical change, whatever it is. And so it's a really a time.
Is this
you
a
know,
planetary change that you're talking
well,
about?
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
And but for certain, it is not impossible that it could be the U.S. dollar being backed by gold. That would be a planetary change because all the things that have been happening to the U.S. dollar are based on the fact that the U.S. dollar is being devalued consistently every month, every year. So if you back it with gold, the entire system changes. It would be completely upside down.
Oh, all right.
And the U.S. would go back to being a world reserve currency.
Wow.
So
we will find out. All right. Your call's coming up in just a few minutes. And I'll see if I can decipher this number again. 844-769-2944. So give us a ring, and maybe we'll be able to talk to you next hour.